At the start of my message, I want to illustrate, just give you a simple illustration that the Bible is always true. Okay? If you're here today and you've been married over 50 years, I want you to stand. You've been married over 50 years. Been married over 50 years. Okay? Now, I want all the men to sit down. Okay? Just the ladies, if you've been married over 50 years. Now, here's my question to you ladies. Do you remember the dress that you got married in? Anybody not? If you remember that, if you remember the dress you got married in, raise your hand. Okay? The dress you got married in, raise your hand. Dress you got married in. Okay. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. Yes. You can. I didn't ask if you could still wear it, Patty. I may be stupid, but I'm not dumb. So here, that's a simple illustration. That verse that we read from Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32, can a maid forget her ornaments or her bride her attire? Back in Jeremiah's day, a wedding was a big event, like it is today for many people. The bride did most of the planning, and Jeremiah said, the bride will always remember, as illustrated today for those that have been married over 50 years, illustrated today, you remember the dress that you got married in, even though it was over 50 years ago. But Jeremiah goes on and says, that's true. A bride will remember her attire, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. A bride will remember what she got married in, but my people will forget me days without number. This morning, I have a real simple message I want to preach on the subject, don't forget God. Don't forget God. And I want to mention four things, and the service, I'm always amazed when God works the service together with the songs and the specials and puts it all together. I want to remind you of four things that we ought never forget about God. Four things about what we ought never forget about what God has done for us. Here they are. Number one, don't ever forget that you and I are sinners. In Romans 3:10, the Bible says that it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, most of us here this morning are saved sinners, but we do well to never forget that we're sinners. You know, we compare ourselves to other people, and we can always find other people and say, I'm not as bad a sinner as they are. And the Bible says that that's foolish, that we should never compare ourselves to other people, but we ought to compare ourselves to the perfect standard. That perfect standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the revealed glory of God. And when we want to know how much of a sinner we are, when we want to know how much of the mark we've missed, when we want to know how short we've come up, don't find somebody and say, hey, I'm not as bad a sinner as that person is. I'm a lot better person than that person is. No, that's not what we should do. We should compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every so often we get the piano tuned. And the tuner comes in, and he does not tune the piano to one that's in tune better. He takes out his little fork, or whatever they call them, and they tune the piano to the perfect key or the perfect pitch. If you want to see how far short you've fallen, then don't compare yourself to somebody that's better. Compare yourself to somebody that's the best. And the best is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now we can look at the Apostle Paul when he was Saul, and we can say, Paul, you're right. You were a bad sinner. You persecuted Christians. You put them to death. You went into their homes and arrested them and threw them in prison. You did everything you could to stop the cause of Christ. You were there when they stoned Stephen. And we can look at Paul and say, yeah, when you were Saul, you were a chief of sinners. But we need to look at ourselves. We need to compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to say the same thing about ourselves that Paul said about himself. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of the worst sin that's in your that you think the worst sin there is. I'll tell you what I think the world's worst sin is. I think it's child abuse. I have very little patience for people that abuse children, either physically or emotionally or sexually. I want to be their prosecutor. I want to be their judge. I want to be their jury. And there's no need to have a trial. If they're guilty, they need to suffer a painful, painful punishment. I'm a Christian. I ought to have the mercy and grace of God. But when it comes to that sin, I don't have much mercy. I don't have much grace. I don't have much forgiveness. I'll confess, I'm a sinner. When it comes to that sin. Now, I don't know what the worst sin you're thinking about, but y'all probably have one where you want to be the prosecutor, you want to be the judge, you want to be the jury, and there's no use having a trial. If they're guilty, just take them out and hang them. Take them out and punish them. Take them out and give them the worst punishment that you can. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says in the book of James that if we break the law in one point, we are guilty of all. Now, the Bible says that I'm to love my neighbor as myself. If I don't do that, I'm breaking the law. Bible says, in fact, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill. Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you're just as guilty as the murderer. When I was younger, I don't do it so much today, although I still do it today, I would lose my temper. I can lose it at the drop of a hat. Now, today, it takes a little bit to get me worked up to lose my temper, but I still lose it at times. You know what? In God's sight, when I lose my temper, I am just as guilty as the person that abuses children. Just as guilty. Just as guilty. Just as guilty. Isaiah said in chapter 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags. If our goodness looks to God like filthy rags, what must our sins look like to Him? Don't forget God. Don't forget that we're sinners. All of us are sinners. Don't forget, number two, that there's a penalty for that sin. It's football season. You break a rule, you pay a penalty. Some of the penalties that are called should not be called, in my opinion. But who am I? But I want to tell you something. God never calls a penalty unless it's deserved. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin is death. The wage, what we've earned for sin, is death, separation from God forever. As sinners, what we deserve is to be separated from God forever. Separated here on this earth, separated for all eternity in hell. And by the way, if you don't believe in hell, somebody's got you fooled. There is a place called hell. The Bible talks about hell more than it does heaven. You can't believe in a real heaven unless you believe in a real hell. Amen. There is a real hell. It's a place of fire, a place of darkness, a bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. Satan and his angels are there. All those that have ignored God, all those that have stepped over the cross, all those that have rejected Jesus are there. The Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. People want to die in hell, but they can't die in hell. It's a place of suffering that never ends. That's what the Bible says the wages of sin is. It's separation from God. It's spending eternity in hell. That's why we should not forget God. That's what we should not forget that we're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin. Number three, we ought not to forget that Jesus paid the penalty for us. He paid what we owed. In Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not when we cleaned up our act, not when we turned over a new leaf, but when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For us. The wages of sin is death. Christ had to die. He had to pay what we owe. He had no sin. He had no penalty that he owed. He had no wage that he owed. Yet he took our place. He paid what we owed. He paid our penalty. He paid for our sin. Don't you ever forget that Jesus paid for your sin. Sometimes oftentimes, when I read the Bible, I try to live in what I read about. Oftentimes, I've gone, closed my eyes, and tried in my mind to go back and witness the crucifixion. I read about it in the four Gospels. And I close my eyes and I try to imagine what it must have been like for Jesus to stand before those soldiers and for them to strip him and dress him in a purple robe, then slap him and punch him and spit on him and pull out his beard. I see they make that crown of thorns and press it down on his head. I see him in my mind take that cat of nine tails and give him 39 lashes. I see him stand before Pilate and then Herod and then Pilate again. Pilate hadn't said, I don't find anything wrong with this man. And yet, to bow to the pressure of the crowd, he called for a basin of water and said, oh, his blood's on your hands. I wash mine. My hands are clean. I can picture in my mind as they put the cross on him and he falls beneath that cross, and they get somebody else to carry it, and they take him out to that hill that's shaped like a skull, that place called Golgotha, place we call Calvary. I can see as they lay him out on the cross and put nails through his wrists and through his feet. I can see as they attach that cross beam to the cross, the upright of the cross, and lower it into the hole, and it jars as it hits the bottom of the hole, and his wounds are more profound as the cross hits the bottom of that hole. I can see as he looks around for the disciples, and the only ones he sees at the foot of the cross is John. Everybody else has forsaken him. Peter's already denied him. Not one person stands on his behalf. I can see him as he hangs on the cross and as the sun goes dark. And again, I don't know what this is like, so I can't imagine it. But as God the Father turns his back on his only begotten Son, and Jesus cries out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He paid the price, my price. He paid your price. He paid for our sins. I don't think there should be a week that goes by. I don't think there should be a day that goes by when Jeremiah says, but my people have forgotten me days without number, so many days that you can't even number them. I don't think there should be a day that goes by that we ought not to remember that we're a sinner. There's a penalty for our sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, paid for my sin and paid for your sin. And then number four, all we had to do to get salvation from the penalty of our sin was receive it. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just like any other gift, the only thing you have to do to get it is to take it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to pay it back. If you earned it or paid for it, it wouldn't be a gift. You simply receive it. John 1:12, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. A maid doesn't forget her ornaments. A bride doesn't forget her attire. Yet we, God's people, forget him days without number. We forget that we are sinners. We forget there's a penalty on that sin. We forget that Jesus paid the penalty, and we forget the only thing we had to do to get it was receive it. How we must break God's heart. Ladies, I know it was the dress that you wore when you got married was important to you. And I'm glad, Patty, you can still fit into yours. But what Jesus did for us on Calvary is more wonderful, more wonderful, more wonderful than anything this earth has to offer. Let's not forget him. And if you're here today and you've never received Christ, the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And the answer is, you won't escape. There's no other way, no other way to escape the punishment of sin except the Lord Jesus Christ and the great salvation that he offers. No other way. You won't escape. You won't escape by being good. You won't escape by doing good stuff. You won't escape by getting baptized. You won't escape by taking communion. You won't escape by joining this church. The only way that you can escape is to take Jesus. Amen. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. If you've never taken him, why don't you take him today? Brother Clyde said a moment ago, I can't think of a better day. Can't think of a better time for you to get saved. Today's the day of salvation. Now is accepted time, the Bible says. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you're a sinner. You're paying that penalty. I mean, you don't have to wait till you die. You're paying the penalty right now because you're separated from God. He paid the penalty for you. All you got to do to get it is come and take it. Just take it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Help us not to forget what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Help us not to forget that we're an undeserving sinner who wanted nothing to do with you, but you sought us out. You wooed us to the Savior. You showed us the penalty for sin. And Father, when we came to Christ, he received us. And you forgave us. And you washed away all our sin. You dressed us in his righteousness. And so, when we accepted him, we stand before you faultless. We stand before you justified. We stand before you just as if we've never sinned. And I pray for those that are here that have never made that decision. They've never come to Jesus. Father, help them this morning to make that decision. Help them to see it's the only hope that they have to escape hell. Help them to see it's the only hope they have to gain heaven. Convict them, Holy Spirit, of their sin. Show them Jesus this morning. And then, Father, for the many Christians that are here, help us to always remember what it cost our Savior for our salvation. Free to us, but what a cost to him and what a cost to you. Help us to remember and to rejoice in what we have in Jesus Christ. Bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.